Hey, first of all, I'm the new guy, but what I am impressed by is the people here. I mean, wow, what a wonderful place to be in Coronado on the Lord's Day. Beautiful worship. What a wonderful group of people. And so let me start off by saying I don't often get the opportunity, as you can tell, to preach regularly now. It used to be I preached every Sunday when I was at Robert's point in his career, having the opportunity to go in every Sunday on board a ship or out in the field. As you get a little bit more senior in this canoe club, we call it, I don't get that opportunity as much. So I haven't preached in a while. What does that mean? I'm sorry in advance for you guys. And also, too, I'm going to try to keep you on time, but I think the Lord has something for you. And the reason why I say that is, as I talked to Robert earlier in the week, I had an idea in my mind what I wanted to preach. And interestingly enough, about 2 days ago, the Lord goes, I got something else in mind. So I don't know what that is. I hope it's meaningful and significant for you, because the Lord's teaching me through this process. Amen? I mean, I'm not about the guy who has all the answers. Is that pretty clear enough? Lord teaches me more than he's probably going to teach you for me preparing for the sermon. Does that make sense? So I need this message more than most of you in this room, but I don't know that, all right? And that's the power of the Holy Spirit, because God deals with each one of us separately and individually. So I just want to have an introduction on that. Now, I'm going to go through a lot of scripture. I'm going to go through some talking points. Feel free to take notes. You're not going to have enough space to take notes, I'm going to give. And if anybody wants this message, I can give it to Robert later. But the thing is, I think what Lord is kind of having me share with you and what I need to share in my life, because I'm new to the area. My wife, my family, and I just arrived here after 5 years overseas in the Far East. So it's been a bit of an adjustment for us. Even though we love California, it's the first time we've been back in California in about 17 years, and definitely the first time for my children. So there's a lot of drama, a lot of challenges, a lot of hey, what if? How do we handle this? And we're having to start anew. And I feel a sense that this is what the Lord's trying to teach us all right now, is we need to try to start anew. But to do that, we need to kind of look at God's word and see what it has to say. But before we get started, can you just bow with me for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, I just come before you, Lord, just to ask that you would be the center of the message this morning. Lord, that this is not about me. It's not about my voice. It's not about the things that I say. It's about your word. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you're welcome to come and minister to us, to show us and reflect that which we need to hear and apply. Lord, I just ask that we would do away with all the thoughts of what we're going to do today, all the thoughts about where we're going to go for lunch, all the thoughts about what we got to go on in the week ahead, and we'll focus right now on your word. Holy God, I ask that you would just allow your word to transform us and speak to us. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. I want to talk about how to make a fresh start. Have you ever had to do something new again? Have you ever had to... hold on a second. How many perfect people do we have here in the room? All right. Okay, good. All right. I didn't see any hands go up. That's good. I always get nervous. Somebody raises their hands and say, okay, we need to talk afterwards. But all you can agree with me, we don't always get it right. So with that in mind, I think we need to talk about why that is. Well, the reason is because we fail. Amen? We're not perfect. We have failures. We make mistakes. Sometimes you give life the best shot and you just come up short. Sometimes you study for that test and you think you have it down and then you fail it. Sometimes you fail it because you don't study. Yeah, I know, right. Sometimes you work really hard at a job and you get laid off. Sometimes you work really hard to establish a strong marriage and it doesn't go there. The fact is, we're going to fail in life and you're going to have setbacks. And that's the reason why I want to give this message to you. The Bible says that God cares about your future. He cares about the future of this church. Isaiah 43, that's going to be the focal passage. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19 says this. The Lord says, Forget about what happened before. Do not think about the past. Instead, look at the new things I'm going to do. Forget about what happened before and don't think about the past. It's over. The book is closed on that. If you don't get anything else about what I'm about to tell you today, get this. God is far more interested in your future than he is in your past. Amen? Some of you think God is fixated on your past. All he wants to do is remind you of all the things you've done wrong. You're wrong. He doesn't care about your past. He cares about your future. That's where you're going to spend the rest of your life. He says, forget about it. Forget about the former things. Don't think about it. Look at the new things I'm going to do through you. So I want to give you a formula. Got to do this kind of a Baptist way. I got more than 3 points. I know I'm going to keep on time, but bear with me. I got 5. All right, stay with me. But you know, I got to have a little acrostic. You know, it's kind of a, you know, illustrations. All right, work with me. We're going to have a formula. It's called START. All right, START. And I hope you can remember this. You can pass it on to your friends because it is relevant. It's God's word for you, I think, today. Regardless of the failure you've had in your life, here's how to start over. S stands for stop making excuses. Amen? Stop making excuses. If I want a fresh start, I have to stop making excuses for my failures. I've got to stop blaming other people. I've got to stop using rationalizations for the actions of my failures. I've got to stop seeing myself as a victim of the circumstances in my life. Let me be clear about this. Other people can hurt you without a doubt, and others will. Other people can scar you without a doubt, but nobody can ruin your life except you. Did you hear that? No one can ruin your life except you. You have a choice. That is, you can choose how you're going to respond to those hurts. You don't know what's going to happen in the future. You have no idea. I have no idea. But you can choose how you're going to respond. The Bible says that the starting point is just to be honest and accept responsibility for my part of the problem. Amen? Proverbs 28:13 says, a man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets a chance. He gets another chance. He gets a fresh start. He says that starting point is to start over, is to be honest and face up to the problems. That most of the problems in my life, most of my failures, honestly, are probably my own fault. The hard part for us is to look, The hard part for us is that our culture and our society, and often we want to pass the buck. We live in a society and a culture that loves to shift blame. We blame the environment. We blame global warming. We blame the economy. We blame the government. We blame our parents. It's always somebody else's fault. Everything is attributed to something else. But God says, most of your failures you've caused. We could talk for day or for weeks, and I don't have that much time, about what causes failures in people's life. But can we all agree we all have them? Let me give you 3 of the most common reasons. And I want you to get these down so you can avoid them. Number one, the number one reason we fail in life is we don't plan. We don't have a plan. We make decisions and we don't look at the consequences of them. Proverbs 27 says, a sensible man or woman watches for problems and prepares to meet them, but the fool never looks ahead and they suffer the consequences. Was it raining when Noah built the ark? No. Rain had never shown itself on the earth. He had to plan ahead, didn't he? The rain did not come for 120 years, the Bible says. Because why? It took that long to build the ark. Jesus often talked about the importance of planning. A number of stories about Jesus talks about, he said there was a guy who goes out and starts to build a tower, but he can't finish it because he doesn't have enough money. Because what? He forgot to plan ahead. He tells a story about the king who went into the battle, but he lost because he didn't count his soldiers. He didn't plan ahead. It's the old cliche, if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. Number one. Number two, because another reason why we don't succeed or we fail is that we don't listen to others. We don't listen to good advice when it's offered to us. The Bible says in Proverbs 15, plans fail without good advice. You need to get all the advice you can get, all the good advice. You need to ask for it. Something I try to teach people is ask for advice. So, why don't we listen to the advice of other people? Because we don't think we need it. It's called pride. It's called ego. Ego is edging God out. We edge God out because we think we know better than God, and we push him out because of our ego and pride. The Bible says pride leads to destruction. So an arrogant attitude leads to failure. When I think I know it all and I can figure it all out by myself, I'm setting myself up for failure. And if I don't listen to the advice of others, if I don't listen to the advice of my wife or maybe my boss, or maybe in your case, your husband, or a good friend, other people around me, if I think I have it all figured out, I'll just do it my own way, you're never going to get anywhere if you think you've already arrived. The guy who gets too big for his britches will eventually be exposed in the end. Amen?
Amen.
All right. That's the problem with pride. So we fail to plan, we fail to listen to other people, and we fail as a result that we give up too soon. That's your third point. Proverbs 24:10. If you give up when troubles come, it just shows that you're weak. Wow. Failure is the path of least resistance. The problem is that often during trying times, we just stop trying and we give up. If first you don't succeed, welcome to the human race. If you first don't succeed, you're normal. Very few people in this life get it on the first try. Oftentimes, we give up just when success is around the corner. It's always too soon to quit. You're never a failure until you give up. We often just give up too soon. Let me give you some examples. There once was a general who lost two-thirds of the battles he fought in. It was during the American Revolution, and the name was George Washington. However, he won the war. Did you know that? He lost two-thirds of all battles he fought in. There's another guy who graduated 42nd out of the class of 43. He then went on and conquered Europe. His name was Napoleon. There's a guy who lost almost every election he ran for, 10 out of 12, until finally he was what? Elected president. His name was Abraham Lincoln. Edison tried over 200 different elements before he figured out what was the right element to use in a light bulb. Over 200 failures before what? Before he had one success that became light. In 21 years, Babe Ruth, got to talk about baseball. We're in baseball season now. In 21 years, Babe Ruth hit what? 714 home runs. Started out as a pitcher, by the way, by my beloved Boston. But anyway, Babe Ruth hit 714 home runs, but what? He struck out 1,330 times. He struck out nearly twice as often as he hit a home run. He once said, quote, "Never let the fear of striking out keep you from taking a swing." It's always too soon to quit. The Bible says we need to stop making excuses. We need to admit when it's our fault and we need to get on with our lives. I've discovered personally that people are very good at making excuses and rarely good at anything else. They spend all their energy thinking up reasons why they can't. So S in START stands for stop making excuses. That's my longest point, but it's the best one, I hope. Well, some other good ones here. T stands for taking stock. We all should do this. I need to take stock of my life. That means I need to evaluate all the experiences I have. I need to look at what I have left after the failure. If I've had a financial failure, I need to take stock of what finances I have left. If I have a relationship failure, I need to take stock on what relationships I have left. If I have a moral failure, I need to take a look at what God is still doing in my life. What are the options? What are my talents? What are my assets? What are my connections? Regardless of what's happening, one of the things you still have, in fact, one of the things you have today is what? You have more experience. God wants you to use those experiences. He doesn't want you to waste them. He wants you to what? Learn from them. Galatians 3:4 says, you have experienced many things. Were all those experiences wasted? I hope not. That's what the scripture says. God uses four kinds of experiences in your life. I'm going to go through them quickly. He uses personal experiences from your family, how you grew up, the people you relate to. If you're married, he uses your mate. He uses personal experiences to shape you. Number two, he has vocational and educational experiences to shape you, that teach you, that inform your mind. He uses spiritual experiences to shape you, like coming to church, amen? Going on a retreat, reading the Bible, having a quiet time, and allows that to shape you. And fourth, and really kind of most importantly right now, I think, he uses painful experiences to shape us. As you take stock of your life and starting over, you need to ask yourself, what have I learned? And if you don't sit down and think it through, you'll probably end up making the same mistake because you didn't learn from it. And what? God has to reteach you. So, what are my assets? What do I have going for me? Have I got my health? Have I got my freedom? Am I mentally sound? Have I got some friends? Have I got the Lord? Amen. Have I got a church family? Absolutely. What have I got that I can count on? And then, who can help me? When you need a fresh start, you need somebody at your side, a friend, accountability partner. Man, I love accountability partners. Someone that you can look up to that can hold you accountable. A support person, a support group. It could be a Sunday school class. It could be a small group. You need other people because you don't start over by yourself after a failure. You need someone else to walk alongside with you. So, every time you take stock in your life, you need to have in your brain a personal referral system. This is the database of every experience you've had. Because why? We all have experiences. Some people call it baggage. Other people call it experiences that we need to look at and kind of go over and make sure. Because you need to see if what's happening, does it square up with my experiences? So it's the filter through your personal referral system. When you're young and very impressionable, we tend to do what? We tend to accept what other people say about us. They said it to me, so it must be true. Someone says, you're dumb. So you think you're dumb. You're lazy. So you think you're lazy. You're never going to amount to much. And you think, yes, I'm never going to amount to much. All it takes is one person, that coach in third grade, to say, you're totally uncoordinated. And for the rest of the life, you think, I'm uncoordinated. Impressionably young people allow other people to influence their self-image. You may be 30, you may be 40, some of you may be 50. And others of you may be, well, we won't go there. But some of you are still operating on tapes that you've recorded in your brain that you're replaying over and over again from your first grade. It wasn't true then, and it's certainly not true now. Some of you are still watching movies of an experience you had on a playground or from your parents or when they were angry and said something at the top of their head and it got stuck in your mind and you're living that life built on faulty information. I used to do computer programming back in the day and we had a term, garbage in, what? Garbage out. And some of you are playing that tape over and over and over again and you're getting the same results and you can't figure out why. You need to challenge your experiences sometimes. Challenge what you have believed. You need to hold it up against the truth of what? God's word. And what does God say about me? Because what God says about me is truth, not what other people say. Just because you've seen something doesn't mean it's true. Amen? Here we go. You've heard the phrase, I'll believe it what? When? I see it, right? Yep. But however, you can believe a what? You can believe a lie. Today, with virtual reality and all the technology we have, I can make you see all kinds of things that aren't true. Now, how many of y'all have seen Forrest Gump? Right? You saw that movie? Great movie. Awesome. If you watched that movie, do you believe he shook hands with John F. Kennedy? Do you believe he taught Elvis how to dance? Remember? Do you believe he played ping pong with the Chinese? All right? Okay, none of that's true, but boy, it should have looked convincing, didn't it? Today, just because you see something does not make it true. Just because you experience something does not make it true. You have some false experiences. That's why you have to build in your life. That's why you have to build your life not on the experience, but on what God's word says. Because it is truth. It is unchanging. Experiences lie all the time. So you need to take stock of experiences, but evaluate that through the filter of God's word. Okay, T is for take stock. A is to act in faith. You have to launch out into new territory. The Bible says the key to changing anything is faith. If you want to change your circumstances, it takes faith. If you want to change your personality, it takes faith. Faith. If you want to change anything in your life, you have to have some faith. Jesus said in Matthew 9, according to your faith, it will what? Be done unto you. This is a very simple statement, but it's astoundingly powerful because according to your faith, it's going to be done. That means we tend to get out of life what? What we expect. According to your faith, it will be done to you. So you need to start what? Expecting more. You need to start expecting more of yourself. You need to start expecting more from God. You need to start expecting more out of this life. That's a simple aspect of faith. In order to start acting in faith, that means you have to stop having the pity party. Amen? You've got to stop feeling sorry for yourself. Poor me. I'm such a victim. Life is unfair. Of course life's unfair. Why? It's life. This is not heaven. Amen? We don't live. I mean, this is a nice place. Don't get me wrong. I love San Diego. I love Coronado. But this ain't heaven. God never said that. God never said life would be fair. Never. No matter who is on television preaching that, it's not true. It's not in God's word. God said life isn't fair. The world is filled with sin. Amen? Turn on the news. The world is filled with sin. Because of that, life is not fair. But you're going to go on with life anyway. The question is, what are you going to do with it? You have to stop having a pity party and stop rehearsing the bad past of what you have and regret, and you need to get on with the present future. According to your faith, it will be done unto you. What you need to do is to learn from your failures. Every successful entrepreneur knows this. Real success is built on failure. Failure is the way you become successful. You figure out what doesn't work. Look at Edison. 200 times. And then on the 201st time, his light bulb lights up. He did it because he knew 199, 200 times it didn't work. You can never call it a failure in life. You call it an education. You learn from it. Have you ever realized that when you set goals, you actually are doing a faith activity? Do you know that? Goals are statements of faith. A goal is simply a dream with a deadline attached to it. Saying, I believe God wants me to do such and such at a certain point of time. It's a statement of faith. You need to set goals in your life, personal goals, family goals, every kind of goal in your life. Have a number for them. Do you realize that only 5% of Americans ever sit down and write down personal goals? Well, if you do that, or if you do what most Americans do, you're in the top 5%. Why is that most people spend more time planning a party than they do planning their own life? I know guys who spend months making business plans, but they never make a life plan. Why? Why don't we set goals? Because of the fear of failure? Yep. Failure is not failing to reach your goals. None of us will reach all of our goals. Come on. Some of our goals, yeah. Failure, though, is not setting a goal. Failure is giving up. Fear of failure keeps you miserable the whole time. It locks you in a self-imprisoned prison of what if. And I'll just let the world buffet me around. Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt in bondage for 400 years. And they came out. And they got set free by the Pharaoh. They came to the Red Sea. This is good. I love this. They're at mountains on either side, and the Red Sea's out in front of them. And then what happens? Pharaoh's army's coming to get them. They're in hot pursuit, coming right behind them. And the only way they can be saved is somehow getting through the Red Sea. Then God said, what? I'll just open it up, and you guys walk on through. Okay? Now, would you like to be the first person to walk out through that sand? And step out with the walls of water. You get down a mile or two and wonder if the walls are going to start coming back down on top of you. But you're going to go through some Red Sea problems in your life. You're going to say, let's go over the Red Sea. Let's go around the Red Sea. Let's go under the Red Sea. And God says, no, let's go through it. I'm going to take you through the problem. I'm going to remove that problem for you. I'm going to take you through it. I'm going to have you act in faith and keep on walking. Act in faith, and he'll take you through the Red Sea. So, where do you need to act in faith today? Where do you need to take steps of faith to start over? You need to step out in faith. Proverbs 29:25 says, being afraid of people can get you into trouble. Don't make that mistake. Act on faith. So, R, almost done. Refocus. We all need to refocus. I need to refocus my thoughts if I want to change my life. Proverbs 4:23 says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. The way you and I think determines the way you and I feel. And the way you feel determines the way you act. If you want to change your actions, don't scrunch up. If you want to change your actions, don't scrunch up your willpower to just try to change. The Bible says, be transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind. You got to change the way you think. You have to change your mind. Let go. Get rid of those painful, hurtful memories. Shame. Guilt, whatever it is, I don't know. But how do you do that? The best thing you can do is by focusing on God's word. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 1, happy are those who are always meditating on God's word. They're like trees along a river that do not dry up. Boy, we need that here, right? I'm not talking about just we need rain in Southern California, but we need that in our lives. They're like trees along a river that never dries up. They'll succeed in everything they do. By what? Meditating on God's word. We all want to be happy, don't we? We all want to be successful. The antidote is what? God's word. We need to meditate. The more you meditate, the more you're going to understand the happiness of God. If you read this book, if you spend time on it, if you meditate on it, the more and more you meditate, I'm not saying all your problems go away, but you'll find God's joy in your lives. We need to fill our mind with God's word. It begins to change us because it changes our minds. You begin to stop seeing yourself as what other people see you, but as God sees you. And you begin to relate to people the way God relates to them. That's when real change takes place. It's the power to start anew. It's the power of starting over. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, of many, is Jonah 3. You all know the story of Jonah. God told Jonah to go in one direction and do something. And what did Jonah do? He went the 180 out and said, I ain't doing it, God. I'm going over here. So he decided to do something exactly opposite. So God took him on a little Mediterranean cruise. And after that cruise was over, he came to Jonah 3:1, and it says, and the word of God came into Jonah a second time. I'm so glad for that verse. Because what does it say? What it's saying is that God's all about second chances. Here's Jonah doing his own thing, and God sends his fish alongside, takes him on a little tour, and then throws him up on the beach, and he goes, let me repeat what I told you before we do this. God's word says, come to me with your brokenness. Come to me with your failures. Come to me with your shame. Come to me with your guilt. Come to me with your messed up things that you've done in your life. And what? I can turn it around. Because why? Because I love you. And I made you for a reason. I made you for a purpose. And that purpose has never changed. Finally, T is for trust. Trust God to help you succeed. Depend on him. Don't depend on yourself. You've already proven that you can't do it on your own. That's why you failed. Some people just don't get it. They stumble and fall, and they get up and say, I'll just got to try harder. It's like you're going to go up against the wall and bang your head against it, and the wall doesn't fall down. I'll just try harder next time. You can try it again and again and again. You keep thinking, maybe it'll fall over this time. That's the definition of what? It's kind of the definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different result. Even Edison didn't do that. He did different things to try to get to the result, right? You need to build the building, but you can't keep up banging your head up against the wall thinking, why doesn't this change? Because you can't change it on your own. Some of the people just don't get the reality that when they stumble and fail, they got to look at new resolutions. Zechariah 4:6 says this. You will not succeed by your own strength or power, but by what? By my spirit, saith the Lord. The secret of success is not trying, but trusting and starting over. Would you like to wipe the slate clean? Have you ever thought, I'd like to redesign my life from the ground up? Sure we have. Well, how do you do that? 2 Corinthians 5:17. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a what? Brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. God specializes in new beginnings. Jesus Christ has the power to do that. It's called being what? Born again. It doesn't mean reincarnation. It means the chance to start over. A fresh start. God says, I don't want you to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to give you what? A whole new life. I had a guy once tell me, and I'm going to close on this. When I look at my life, it just adds up to one big minus. Not a zero, minus. One big negative. How does he turn a negative into a positive? He takes the minuses in your life, and he turns them into positive by what? By making a cross. Jesus Christ was hung for your hang-ups. He died on the cross for everything you feel bad about. He was crucified between two thieves so you could stop crucifying yourself over your past failures. That's called grace. You say, but I've wasted all these years. I've wasted all these moments. The Bible says in Joel, I will restore your years. The locusts have eaten. In Isaiah, he says, I will give you beauty for ashes. Let's together as a church family and as individuals ask Christ to help us what? Make a fresh start. I don't know if this message means anything to you. It does to me. Because why? I need to make a new start in so many different areas. I want you to hear this as an encouraging message. Because why? Because God's word is meant for you. And it's meant for you to live your life the way he's built you. He wants you to be everything he wants you to be. Doesn't mean you're not going to have struggles. And I know a church this size has struggles. But the power of God is to be able to work through that and to bless you in the midst of him creating new life in this community, up and down these streets, up across Coronado, up across San Diego, all in that high school over here, all in that junior high. By what? People living their faith out loud. I want you to be encouraged, because hear me, I need this as much as you do. Here in a moment, we're going to pray, and I'm going to ask the worship team to kind of do what they do. I'm going to ask maybe some of the leaders here in the church to be available for you. I'll be available if you want to talk. But hear me when I say this. All this makes sense only if you know the Lord Jesus. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, then you need to get your heart right. If you know the Lord Jesus, you need to do what he told you to do. For some of you, it may mean that you need to get baptized. Why? Well, maybe you're a Christian. You've never expressed that in baptism. And that's the first step in obedience. You're wondering why you're being buffeted around. It's because you never nailed it down. It's not nothing spiritual about the water. It's all about being faithful to what Jesus told us to do. For some of you, it's to get plugged into this church in a different way. I don't have a word from the Lord here. I only know really Robert and Master Chief, who I don't think's here today. We'll talk about that. I think he's TAD. But my point is, I don't know what God has for you in this fellowship, but there's room for you. Amen? There's areas for you to plug and play, okay? And if you're not doing that, maybe God's trying to teach you today, you need to be a part of something. You come alongside someone here. You need to be that man, that woman of God that God's called you to be. So this is an opportunity for you to respond. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the day you've given us. Lord, just the joy of being able to live here in freedom, to be able to share your word in spirit and in truth. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of just being able to proclaim your word. And I ask, Lord, that you would apply it to our lives in the way that you want it to be. Holy Spirit, I say that you're welcome to transform us by the power of your word. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing and what you're going to do. And I look forward, Lord, to hearing the results. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Help us to be obedient. For delayed obedience is disobedience in your eyes. So, Lord, if you're speaking on someone's heart this morning, may they get it settled today. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.